You're now dialed in to the All Things Telesales Podcast. I'm your host, Jake Lynn. If the phone is your weapon, this is your podcast. Every week, I'll interview leaders across all verticals of telesales. This week, I got a special guest by the name of Liston Witherell. He's the host of the Modern Sales Podcast. And this week, he's here with us to talk about building trust on the phone.
Liston, my man, thanks for joining me on All Things Telesales Podcast. Really been looking forward to spending some time with you, man. We've been talking a lot here lately, and I really look forward to talking today. We're going to talk about building trust on the phone. And Liston, I know you got a really awesome podcast out there called Modern Sales. I just really appreciate you taking the time to join me on this podcast today.
Thanks for having me. It's my pleasure.
Awesome, man. So we hear about it all the time. You know, we're in sales and people don't buy unless they like, know, or trust us, right? Yep. So building trust over the phone, especially nowadays, people have their guards up with TCPA regulations and all kinds of different things that people just robocalls, this, that. I mean, it's one of the top three biggest complaints at the White House or robocalls. Can you believe that?
God, it seems like we have bigger things to complain about.
But sure. I know. So, you know, our president's got a lot of work to do to get rid of these robocalls.
Yes, indeed. That's the understatement of the century.
So with that in mind, man, I mean, people, they have their guard up. So how do we build trust over the phone?
Well, I always like to start with kind of the problem, right? So why is trust so important is the first thing that I want to kind of tackle when we talk about this. And my feeling is, so if you're in like true telesales, right? So I focus on selling professional services. So consulting, you know, management consultants, software developers, accountants, like people who sell really expensive, very specialized expertise. Even then, right, even those people, when they're reaching out to someone, these are very credible, accomplished, educated people. When they reach out to someone, the other person is going to have their guard up because they're thinking, oh no, I'm about to be sold something.
Right.
Right. And what's wrong with being sold something, right? Because we do respond to messages that are relevant to us. You know, on my podcast, I recently ran this series called Buyer Insights, and I interviewed corporate buyers, and I asked them, one of the questions I asked was, hey, do you ever respond to cold calls or cold emails? And they all said the same thing, which was very rarely.
Yeah.
But if it's relevant to me and I'm currently interested in this thing, I will respond. They all said that. Right. Okay. Initially, they were almost dismissive about it. Like, no, I would never respond to a cold email or a cold call. Well, actually, there was this one time. Right. So we know that it's okay to sell to people if it's relevant.
Sure.
Right. But we also know that they have their guard up.
Right.
And the reason trust is so vital is because if you're, especially if you're getting interrupted, right, I had no expectation that this call was going to come in. We don't have any familiarity with the person or the brand in some cases, right? And so because of that, the other person doesn't know, is this worth my time? Are you credible? Can I make sure that you're not going to just kind of screw me over? This is going to be a giant waste of my time. So that's why people have their guard up so much, right? Because we've all encountered the kind of sleazy salesperson, and who wants to, you know, have that happen to them. And even more so, listeners of this podcast, no, none of you want to feel that way, right? And hopefully you aren't that, so you shouldn't feel that way. So how does trust work? So a couple different things, right? One thing that I think, and you've mentioned Josh Braun from Sales DNA, and this is something he's big on, and I agree with it, particularly in the setting of telesales,
yeah,
is to be disarming right off the bat. Right.
Yeah.
So sure. I don't remember who said this, but I love this line. It's very me. It's not going to be for everybody, but this person, he said his opening line when he cold calls is, "Hi, it's so and so. I'm calling to sell you something." And then he's just quiet, right?
Yeah.
And the reason I think that's so interesting is because it's telling the person right away. Like, that takes it off the table, They yeah. can't say, okay, I get it. You're really just here to sell me something. Well, he's saying it right off the bat.
Yeah. And so the prospect's like curious at this point. You piqued their interest. What is he trying to sell me?
Well, and it's different, right?
Yeah.
People have never heard that before. And yeah. so now all of a sudden you might have their attention. And, you know, so, hey, I'm here to sell you something. And they're probably going to be a little taken aback and be quiet for a second. Is it okay if I take 10 seconds just to tell you what it is and you can tell me if you want to hang up on me? Everyone's going to say yes to that, right?
Right.
So I think it depends on the setting of how we build trust. But I think the first thing is to be disarming and really empathize with the other person. How would you feel if you received this call? And start to honor that by making sure you are doing things that build trust, like being disarming, being honest, right? Being empathetic and really caring about the other person and their time. And one of the problems with the phone is that so much communication happens with body language.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you're familiar with, I think it's Greenpeace, when they're on the corner, like they'll hang out by like a mall or a thoroughfare where a lot of people walk, at least where I am. You're in LA, so none of those places exist in LA. Yeah. Maybe by Staples Center, right?
Okay, you got it.
So there's someone out there with a little, you know, clipboard and some things that they're going to pass out.
Yeah.
And what they do is they'll wait to make eye contact. They'll go, hi. And if you make eye contact, now it's over, right?
You're done.
Yes. So if you make eye contact, they go, hi, how are you today? And they reach their hand out.
Yeah.
Right? Why do they do that? Because there's this really weird unwritten social rule, which is if someone reaches their hand out, you have to shake it.
Sure.
It's not clear why, right? Right. But you can also assess, you know, do they look trustworthy based on the way they carry themselves, based on the way they shake hands, based on their cleanliness, based on their clothes, based on, you know, their posture. Like there's all these other indicators that we're using to try to figure out, is this person trustworthy? And they're subconscious. Over the phone, none of that exists.
Right.
Right?
100%.
So we're at a major disadvantage. And so I think very first impression, being open, making sure that you're showing that you're not going to deceive the person. And tone of voice is really important too. I think you have to sound confident and calm, right? Because if not, it's going to kind of freak the other person out. If you sound like you're in a boiler room and like it's 100 degrees and your sales manager just had a push-up contest and so everyone's trying to get their quota in, right? Like that's probably not going to go well.
Right.
So, you know, to me, really focusing on that, how are we going to start the call is really, really important because people are so skeptical. Now, in my line of work, what I like to do is use video. So I have a 100% remote business and I get hired over the internet. I don't meet my clients in person. At least it's rare that I do, right? So I'm working remotely. And so from the outset, I want to set that kind of expectation immediately, but I also want my communication to be as rich as possible. And so if possible, here's what I would push you to do. If it's possible in your line of work, if you're scheduling calls, make sure you do it over video because it is going to give you a chance to show body language. It is going to give you a chance to show who you are besides just a voice over the phone. Like, what do you look like? How persuasive do you seem? You know, do you talk with your hands, which I'm doing a lot of right now? No one on the podcast can see that. But of course, that's who I am. So I think video is very, very important. Is that something that you ever use or talk about in your line of work, Jake?
Yeah. Actually, I got a buddy that owns a company called QuickPage. And QuickPage is an app similar to like Vidyard. I know you use Vidyard. I've actually seen one of your Vidyard videos, which to your point is how I got to know you was through a cold outreach email that you sent to my marketing department. And I was like, hold up, this is great. You make a great guest on my podcast. Right?
And so, here I am.
So Vidyard, or there's a lot of tools out there right now that we give you that ability. So 100%, man, I get it. And then having a way to track that and get some analytics and some visibility into, you know, open rates and success rates too, right, is just as equally important on the back end. But on the front end, again, getting back to like building trust, absolutely 100%. It's a great way to build trust.
Yep. Well, so I think one of the big tips that I like to give people about building trust is, and this was also confirmed in that Buyer's Insight series that I just ran on my podcast that I mentioned earlier, where I talked to corporate buyers. But one of the things that I recommend everybody do in sales, whether it's telesales or any kind of sales, is to do and say things occasionally, not exclusively, but occasionally, that are against your own self-interest. And what I mean by that is, if you're in a sales setting, right, whatever you're selling, whether it's a product or a service, it's not going to be perfect for everybody in every situation. And so one really easy way to build trust, let's take software for an example, just because it's so clear, right? If I contact someone and say, buy my project management software, of course, some people are going to ask, well, does it do this one feature? And if it doesn't, I think the key thing to say is, no, it doesn't do that.
Yeah.
Right? Now, if it's not on the roadmap, don't lie about it. And also, I think you can always take that moment to say, you know what, it doesn't do that. Is it okay if I take a second to explain the thought behind our product and why we include some features and some features we don't? It's intentional, right?
Yeah.
Now that opens up a conversation about how we're different. But I think a lot of people in sales, unfortunately, feel that they need to lie, overrepresent
right.
what it is yeah. that they do.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not setting proper expectations on the front.
Right. And, you know, just telling that there's going to be certain people like me. And I don't know you well enough to say what your personality is, Jake. But if I'm talking to someone and everything I ask, they answer in the affirmative, oh yeah, I can definitely do that. It's the best. Everything you want it can do. I'm going to be sitting there being like, no, it doesn't. There's no way, right? You didn't build the software for me, right? There's got to be some things I want it to do that it doesn't, or some things that aren't implemented the way I'm asking, right? There's got to be something.
Yeah, for sure.
And so for me, one of the best ways to build trust is to show the other person, I'm going to tell you the truth, even when it doesn't directly benefit me.
Right. Yeah, for sure. It's, you know, hear it all the time, BANT, budget, authority, need, timeline. Mm-hmm. But the biggest part of that is the need. Mm-hmm. And if I don't have what you need, then I'm going to tell you, right? And it's just being transparent and honest.
Right, exactly. And it's, you know, I don't know that it's as simple as like, I can meet the need or I can't meet the need. I mean, obviously, if I can't meet the need, then I should right. tell you and you should go elsewhere and I should sell to prospects who I can help. But, you know, usually it's kind of on a spectrum, right? I can meet 85% of your needs.
Yeah. For some people, it's a deal breaker. Yeah.
You know, I can meet more of their needs than others. And right. so those are the moments where I would really take the time to say, let me explain to you, you know, what we're good at and what we're not, honestly. And you can make your own assessment.
Right. Yeah, for sure. And then they can tell you whether or not, you know, how important. So one of the questions I've learned to ask is through that discovery process is, you know, how important is this? Because, mm-hmm. you know, I'm telling you that I'm not able to deliver on this. How important is that? And I've said, well, it's important, and I appreciate you being honest, but we can keep the conversation going, they'll say, you know, just, and then that's one good way of building trust for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, I think being honest is really important. I think also, let me ask you, when you're talking about building trust on the phone, is this mainly just like total cold calls or, you know, what are you talking about when you think about building trust on the phone?
Well, building trust over the phone, of course, it depends on the setting, right? Did somebody fill out a form? And yes. So then you just simply, if they have the intent to buy, then they've reached out to you and it's just asking, I think, just what prompted you to reach out and just listening and get permission to take notes and listen, and then rephrasing some of the highlights that they're looking for, you know, from inbound opportunity, then that's how you build trust, is letting them know that you're listening to their needs. And I feel like that's a lot easier than, like, let's say an outbound call, whether it be cold call or like I'm calling on age lead and nobody from my company's talked to them, you know, within the last couple of weeks, or, you know, legally, depending on the setting, like if it's B2C, I can't call them after the 90th day, right? From the intent to buy. So it's in the B2C world, we have to build some type of rapport, you know, and I always coached agents when I had a call center, we were doing life insurance sales, I would say, smile so big your ears get wet. It's that transfer of enthusiasm. And that's kind of where that trust building starts. Mm-hmm. So to answer your question, it really just depends on the setting. On a cold call, I like your approach to the cold call. You know, hey, I'm trying to sell you something, or you don't know who the heck I am or why I'm calling, right? You don't even know who I am, but let me get 5 minutes of your time. And so just being honest on a cold call, 100% is how you start building trust. In a B2C environment, it's a little bit different. Like, you got to build some rapport there. Any tips that you might have?
For building rapport?
Yeah.
So, you know, I've worked with a lot of people who are technical experts in a field, and some of those folks have a really hard time with this, with building rapport. And so I always think about, like, well, what is the grab bag of things you could always cover that anybody can talk about? So I think the tricky thing about building rapport is it has to be interesting and relevant to the person, or at least on the surface. But it also has to be something that they can engage in easily, right? Yeah. So a lot of people, I'm sure you've seen this, right? Some CRMs have like sports scores built in. If you're calling someone in Chicago, you know what the Cubs score was. But not everybody follows the Cubs. And right, so you're like, oh man, great Cubs game last night. And they're like, I don't watch baseball, right? Yeah. So I think, you know, for me, one of the things that anybody will talk about is always the weather. Right.
Oh yeah.
So I'm looking for is not to have a deep conversation and not to show myself as vulnerable right off the bat, although I should eventually. What I'm looking for is just to get them to respond, right? To have a little bit of a back and forth. So, you know, the weather, something about their city, something I know. So like in Chicago, pizza is a big thing. And there are two pizza restaurants that a lot of Chicagoans debate as being the best. And so that's a question I'll ask, right? Yeah. If I'm talking to someone in Chicago, I'll say, so I've been curious, Lumalnati's or Pequod's, right? And they'll be like, oh, okay, you know something about Chicago, right? And then it'll be this whole discussion about, like, when do you go to Lumalnati's and why is Pequod's better? No, Pequod's isn't the place. You should go to this other place.
Yeah.
And so something like that to show some sort of commonality, right? Or even contrast. Yeah. Like when we got on the phone today, you said, how's your day going? And I was like, well, it's warmer now because it was snowing in Portland. Never snows in Calabasas, right? And you're like, yeah, it sure does. And it's pretty hot down here, right? So that's an easy thing to use to bond. Depending on how much research you can do, where the person went to school is always an easy one. Right. So if I see someone who went to UC Santa Barbara, that's something I'll use because I went there for grad school. Right. Yeah. So I'll say, like, go Gauchos if I record a video to them, which was our mascot. Yeah. Something that shows that you're paying attention always helps. But I think something general like the weather, their geography, where they went to school, I think that's all fine.
Yeah.
And in particular, if you have something that you genuinely have in common with the person. So like for me, I love food. I love exercise. I love coffee. I love beer. I love whiskey, like all of those things. If I can learn that about the person before I come on, those are things I can talk somewhat intelligibly about for like 2 minutes. Right. So that's what I'm going to talk about. And rapport works best, or you build the most rapport, I should say, when it's not just we're having a little surface level conversation like I would with someone in the line at Whole Foods, right? It works best when we actually have something in common. So the pizza question for people in Chicago, like that's a bonding moment because they're like, he's been here. He understands something that you couldn't easily just find on the internet, right? Like it's a thing that we can now talk about and have in common, which will open us up to other things.
Yeah, I like that. And it brings me to a really interesting point, too, is pre-call preparation. How much do you know before you place that call, when that call is made? Like, what's their, where are they located? What school do they go to, right? And so that pre-call preparation, nowadays you have Facebook, you have LinkedIn, you have so many different ways that you can look people up before you get a hold of them, or as a means to get a hold of them. And the chances are that they've probably already researched us before we've ever even researched them too.
Right. I know. And shame on us, right? I mean, here's what I think is LinkedIn, for all of its many faults, and you and I were talking about some of them, or at least I was, reading my laundry list of things I don't like about LinkedIn. It's still the best source of professional information, right? About other people. And it takes, I'm not exaggerating here, 1 minute to go to someone's LinkedIn page and look at where they went to school, what jobs they've had in their career trajectory, probably where they grew up, some extracurriculars they've done, what kind of reviews people leave for them, and then some of the things that they've either posted or commented on recently. It takes 1 to 2 minutes to do that. Right?
Yeah.
And the amount of impact I can have in 1 or 2 sentences is now 10 times what it was before.
For sure.
Because they'll know I paid attention, right? And they were important enough for me to give up a minute or two of my time to come to this call prepared. And that is pretty critical, right? Because we, you know, especially think about this. If you're talking to the type of person who does their research and you show up and you didn't do their research, like, I'm not going to trust you because I like people like me and you're not like me. Right.
Yeah. And you had mentioned it earlier into the podcast. You said, you don't know me well enough right now to know my personality, but there's a tool out there called Crystal Knows.
Let's talk about that. Sure.
Yeah.
So I have something to say about that.
Yeah. So Crystal Knows, like DISC assessments and all that, to understand your own personality and how it relates into like the personality assessments, I think is important. Mm-hmm. But then to learn like how you can adapt to, like, let's say how I can adapt to listen and your personality so that we can get to that common ground, a tool on my LinkedIn to help me get there in pre-call preparation and help build trust is a tool like Crystal Knows.
So my thing on Crystal Knows is most people tend to communicate in shorter bursts online, shorter sentences, often incomplete sentences, because we're busy, we're distracted, right? We're not trying to write a novel. And actually, most people don't write very well. So there's that also, like regardless of their personality.
Sure.
And so my experience was several years ago, I haven't used Crystal Knows in a while, is that it overrepresents the number of D personalities that you would see in the world population. So it overrepresents people who are the quote unquote classic A personality, like very driven, very in your face, very direct, people like me. And so, I think that's my 2 cents on Crystal Knows is like, it sounds good, but I don't know how useful it is. And also, if personality is fixed, it depends, you know, like how adaptable is someone really to change their personality to meet the others? Anyway, I could go on for a long time about the usefulness of personality tests.
Yeah.
What I do think is important is to evaluate when you're talking to someone else, very simple things, which you can draw from DISC, right? So like, a C personality, I forget what C stands for, but this person tends to be more analytical, right? They're more about the details, right? And so my wife and I get into many arguments because we both like details and I'm very direct, which is a nasty combination. she can tell you.
Yeah.
And so we will get into arguments about like, what was the exact right thing always, right? So when you're talking to someone, you can probably sense, do they need more or less detail, right? Yeah. Are they more inclined to disagree with me or agree with me? So if they're constantly agreeing, maybe I'm going to need to make some space for them to tell me, hey, what you're offering sucks, right? Because like, I want to know that, right? And I want to know if they have any objections. I don't want them to just agree with everything I'm saying.
Right, yeah.
So I think, you know, there are some useful things about personality tests, just understanding the core differences, things like agreeableness, conscientiousness, openness. Those things are really, really important and can help you in these initial calls.
Yeah, man, lots of nuggets, man. Anything else that you might want to add to building trust over the phone? I mean, it's such a laundry list of things that we could talk about.
Oh my gosh. The last thing I would say that I think is really important, you know, definitely use Zoom for video. It's awesome. 100%. It's the best by far. Don't use Skype. Don't use Google Hangouts. They suck in comparison. The other thing I would say, this is the last kind of takeaway I want to leave everybody with, is to put your prospect in control. And what I mean by that is, there are ways that we can structure our calls to give people more or less control, right? And one of the big mistakes, you've done sales training, so you know this.
Yeah.
One of the big mistakes a lot of people will do is they'll just get on the phone, and when the prospect answers, they're just talking at them until the prospect hangs up. They're like, I give up. I can't take it anymore, right? Yeah. So that's not a good way to put the prospect in control.
Yeah.
I think one of the initial things you can do is always start, here's my format for a sales call, no matter where you are in the sales process. Rapport building, you know, how's it going, or something that we have in common. Always talk about the agenda. Here's why I'm calling. Here's what I'd like to cover. Here's what will happen at the end of the call.
Yeah.
The contents of the meeting, then I'm going to summarize what I learned, and then we're going to have next steps. Right? Even if the next step is, let's not talk again because this isn't a fit, but we're all going to walk away knowing exactly what just happened and why, right? When I say put your prospect in control, at each of those stages, you can ask for permission, right?
Yeah.
So we do our little rapport building, that's 1 to 2 minutes. I would say, hey, you know, here's the reason why I'm on the phone today. I'd like to cover X, Y, and Z. Is there anything you'd like to cover? They say yes or no. And then you would say, cool, is it all right if I ask you a few questions? I'm always asking for permission, right? Is it okay if I ask you a few questions? Yes. Is it okay if I summarize what you just told me? Of course, everyone's going to say yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Is it okay if we talk a little bit about what might happen next? Right? I'm always asking for permission because I want the other person not just to feel like they're in control, but actually have a real stake in what happens during this conversation. And importantly, salespeople, what happens after the conversation? Because if they feel like they have nothing invested, you have no deal. It's not going anywhere. There's no reason for them to keep talking to you. So we want, by giving them control, and scary as it may be, actually ceding that control to them, genuinely giving it to them, if we do that, they're gonna have more invested in the conversation and what happens afterwards. So that's my last very spirited, enthusiastic point.
That's good stuff, man. And so after buttoning up a call, I like that where you'd is it okay if I summarize what we talked about? So rephrasing, you know, after, because you should be or should have been taking notes through that call to be able to rephrase to the person and not the exact words, but in words in which they took it that you understood the need. And so
yes.
I really like that you asked for permission to then summarize I haven't heard anybody say that, and I like that part of it as well. And I typically would like to wrap up calls. If it's a one-call close, like in the life insurance B2C, you can do one-call closes. And even at the end of a demo or in the Discover call, I like to finish them with, how do you feel about the meeting that we just had? How do you feel about the time that we just spent together? Mm-hmm. And that gets them, so then I can understand what their commitment level is to maybe keep the next meeting, or, you know, or what could I have done better, if anything. And so I, as a sales professional, could get better. Are there any other power questions that you might ask in a call like that?
I mean, a power question.
Yeah, there's
so on my
power questions.
I have a 6 questions series on my podcast.
Okay.
One question per episode, 6 episodes.
Nice.
So anybody listening to this, you can go check that out.
Awesome.
But for more, something a little bit more close oriented, or what I say is the conclusion of the sale, because we can get a yes and we can get a no, and both are fine, but we don't want to live in maybe, right?
Yeah.
So if, especially if I'm selling something that's going to require more thought or more people to be involved in the decision, especially that, right? Here's a question that I would recommend you use. So if you're talking to someone and they have to bring it back to their team to discuss whatever you just talked about, I would always say, let me ask you, how do you feel about what we talked about? That was your question. And if they're like, this seems great, right? But it's not just me, it's my team also.
Yeah.
And I would ask, tell me what we need to do to make this a home run when you take it back to them.
Oh, that's good.
What does this need to look like for them to say yes? And if they're invested, they're going to tell you. They're going to tell you exactly what's right with it, what's wrong with it, what needs to change. And I want to know that, right? Because often what will happen is you'll hear some objection surface that may just be misunderstandings. They think one thing and actually there's something different about your product or service. And so we have a chance to correct that now. Oh, okay, cool. You know, I understand why you would have thought that. Is it okay if I explain what that really is about? And so, you know, and everybody will be like, oh yeah, because I'm going to need to go sell this to someone else. Please do straighten the record for me. So that is one question that I would ask. I think, you know, often at the end of these calls, what you'll hear is something to the, you know, something like, I'm going to need to think about it, or I'm going to need some more information. And so I would always ask when I hear that, well, cool. You said you need to think about it. What are some of the things that are on your mind right now? Like, what's going through your mind that you need to chew on for a while? Because I might be able to help them make that decision, right? And I would love it if I could help them get to a no, so that they don't have to spend time with me that's unnecessary for them, and I don't have to do the same, right? And if they're asking for, well, you know, I think I just need to do some more research or find some more information, I'd say, cool, you know, I actually have a mountain of information over here. There's something that I can send you. Let's discuss what that might be. What, can you tell me some of the things that you might be looking for? Right? So I'm always looking to get to that no, right? Like, how do we get to that no as fast as possible?
Yeah.
And so those are some of the questions that I like to use at the end of these calls, because the point of any call, right, is it's not only critical what happens on the call, but it's critical what happens after, right? The point of the call is to move the sale forward. And so if we're not moving the sale forward, we have a major problem. So I'm going to ask questions that help do that.
Nice. The man with the questions.
That's me. Yes.
Yeah. So I'm gonna encourage everybody that's listening to this podcast, go check out Modern Sales Podcast with Listen Witherell. Check that podcast out. He's got mountains of information, lots of knowledge there. Check him out. And where can people find you, man?
So people can find me on my website, servedontsell.com. I send out a daily email. That is right. A new email every day. So if you dare to sign up for that, I send out a daily sales insights newsletter. Everyone has a drawing, so you'll like to see pretty pictures in there. So you can sign up for that. You can connect with me on LinkedIn. And of course, the number one thing I'd love for you to do is sign up for that newsletter or check out the Modern Sales Podcast, which you can find anywhere you listen to podcasts.
That was Listen Witherell, building trust on the phone. Be disarming right off the bat. Get their attention, pique their interest, empathize, be honest, compassionate. Use video when you can. That's how Lisa and I met, through a Vidyard video. Tell the truth, even when it doesn't directly benefit you. We talked about the importance of pre-call preparation. We talked about the pros and cons of Crystal Nose. Check the show notes for an affiliate link for a free trial. Put your prospect in control. Don't just talk at your prospect, but engage with your prospect. Rapport building. Find a common ground. Talk about the agenda, contents of the meeting, and summarize what you learned. And as always, the next steps. If you want to secure the bag, you got to secure the next steps. I'm Jake Lynn. Had a good time chatting with Liston Witherell. Check him out. ServeDon'tSell.com. Modern Sales Podcast. Thanks for staying on the line on the All Things Telesales Podcast. Did you like today's episode? If so, subscribe so next week's episode will be available for you. If you really enjoyed today's episode, leave a 5-star review. It's a good way to get the word out there. And if not, check out another episode. Maybe then you'll be able to rate the show 5 stars. Any telesales leaders you'd like to hear from on the show? Send an email to podcast@allthingstelesales.com. This episode was off the hook.